Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
19 days from today, Title 42 may go by the wayside. Here to talk about that is Mark Krikorian, Executive Director of the Center for Immigration Studies. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Mark, you know, I remember an old 45 that I listened to. Side A was bad, side B was worse. When we flip Alejandro Mayorkas and Kamala Harris, the czar at the border, they're back and forth, bad, worse, bad, worse, bad, worse. I don't know of anything that they've said, but recently Mayorkas was asked about Title 42 going away, and he said they're prepared. They have 19,000 border agents that come to work every day wanting to do the right thing, wanting to work really hard, and they are going to be able to handle it. But yet up until this point, those same border agents are on news stations, local, national stations, saying every day they are not able to do what they're supposed to do. How could someone just lie to the public and say everything's okay, and it's not?
Well, you know, in Mayorkas' defense, I don't think he's lying. And I don't mean that you know, that the border is secure. What I mean is he defines his job at the border differently from what everyone thinks his job is. What the law says, this is actually written in the law and what everybody understands the job to be, is operational control of the border. Operational control is like a term in the law. What it means is preventing people from crossing the border illegally. That's kind of what you think of as what the Border Patrol is supposed to do. He, Mayorkas, and actually the whole Biden administration doesn't see it that way. They see their job as processing illegal immigrants who claim to, you know, want to apply for asylum as quickly and efficiently as possible into the United States. So in other words, if that's your goal, then sure, they can handle the surge that will come after Title 42 is repealed, because their job is to move those people into American communities as quickly as possible. That's what they see as their job. And so, yeah, he's sort of telling the truth. The problem is he doesn't see his job the way everybody else does and the way the law requires.
So what happens when you reach the caps? You know, I mean, there's another law out there that talks about how many.
They just
ignore that?
Yeah. Well, no, this is they're running basically a whole separate immigration system. I mean, Congress has set up a legal immigration system that brings in on a regular year 1 million or maybe a little more legal immigrants every year. It was lower during COVID for obvious reasons, but it'll be right back up this year. But the loophole, if you will, is asylum. Illegal immigrants, asylum is basically an illegal immigrant who says, I'm a refugee, you have to let me stay. Regular refugees are people we choose from other countries in camps or whatever it is to bring here. We can do that well, we can do it badly, it's a whole separate discussion, but we run that. What asylum is illegal immigrants who sneak in. Usually they turn themselves in now to the Border Patrol and say, I'm a refugee, you have to let me stay, and have all the hearing after hearing and all the rest of that stuff. And this administration basically is saying that they're going to facilitate that as much as possible. And so in the first 6 months of the fiscal year, and basically October 1st through March, they took in, or they arrested, apprehended at the border, 1 million illegal immigrants, some of whom were bounced back, but something like half of whom were just let into the country. And so if that continues at that rate, and it may actually be worse pretty soon, that would be 2 million arrests at the southern border, an unprecedented number, 1 million of whom will just be let into the United States. So essentially this and they're never going to leave, even if they come to their hearings for asylum, even if they lose. This administration has no intention of hunting them down and arresting them and throw them out of the country after they lose, as most will. So they're running their own separate immigration system as large as the entire legal immigration system put together. They are doubling annual immigration through their refusal to enforce the border.
So I guess it's easy to put it this way. If there was anyone else running this scheme, this sham, other than the federal government, there would be a federal investigation of them right now, right?
Presumably, yeah. I mean, this is, if you ran a business like this, you'd be in
jail. I mean, if any other third party did what they're doing right now, the feds would be all over investigating all over this.
Of course they would. I mean, unless they liked the result. And frankly, this administration does like the result. They see, some people talk about the reason they're doing this is that they're importing Democrat voters. Tucker Carlson has said that a lot, and other people. And there's probably something to that, but I don't think that's the main thing. The main reason this administration is doing this is because the people running immigration, this is a mainstream Democratic view now, not a fringe thing anymore. They do not believe that the American people have the right to turn anybody away, that immigration must be unlimited, and that limits on immigration are violations of human rights and therefore can't be tolerated. And even though the law requires limits in immigration, they see it as their mission to subvert those laws and prevent the limits on immigration in the law from being enforced.
So I think you entitled one of your articles that you wrote that their big problem is how to hide it from the public. It's Biden's border plan is to let everyone in, but hiding it from the public is the difficult issue at the present time.
Exactly. This is why they're pushing this idea of having more and more capacity on the border to, quote, process, unquote, illegal aliens efficiently. That's what they're talking about, processing them efficiently. And what they mean is moving them through so that they don't back up. Like in last fall, people who followed this remember there were a lot of Haitians under that bridge in one of the Texas border towns, Del Rio. There were thousands of Haitians backed up there precisely because there were so many at one time. Even this administration couldn't wave them into the United States fast enough. And that blew up in their face politically. And so that's what they want to avoid. They're fine with those 15,000 illegal aliens and thousands of others being released into the U.S. essentially permanently. They'll never have to leave. They just want to make sure it doesn't hurt them politically. And so when Secretary Mayorkas says they have a plan for what they're going to do at the border when Title 42 is eventually lifted, what they mean is they have a plan to not have it blow up in their face politically, but still wave all of these people into the country anyway.
So basically what they want is no drone shots of large groups of people at the border appearing on 5, 6, and 10 o'clock news or cable news channels.
That's what it amounts to. Exactly.
That's a sad commentary on the policy of this country. I mean, this runs violative of the separation of powers. I mean, who's the check and balance here? We have all these laws there, been there for years, and we're not adhering to any of them.
It is kind of crazy. And, you know, when Republicans take control of at least the House of Representatives in November, and maybe the Senate, depending on how things turn out, there's some things they can do to try to rein this in. But ultimately, you can't make the executive do his job. Congress can't say, okay, you have to deport this many people. And so they'll be able to do some things. They'll be able to try to, you know, rein in the administration. But ultimately, the root cause of the border disaster is sitting in the Oval Office. And until that changes, there can't be any real change what's going on at the border.
You know, it's always been the power of the purse, right? But when you right. don't really want to do anything, you've just completely diminished the power of the purse. Because if my goal is do
there.
Nothing, it's still there. But, I mean, if it's to do nothing, the power of the purse doesn't even exist.
Right, exactly. So because when Congress, because Congress controls the money, they can say, you know, you can't spend money on X, Y, and Z. But it's harder for Congress to say you must spend money on this and then follow this policy. It doesn't really work, because the point of the separation of powers, like you suggested, is that Congress makes the laws and the president and his subordinates carry them out. They execute the laws. But, you know, if they don't want to arrest an illegal alien, what does Congress do? Pass a law saying you have to arrest this illegal alien? I mean, and a law like that would have to be signed by the president anyway. So we're going to be in for like these, you know, government shutdown fights potentially next year, where Congress says, here's the requirements. The president says, I'm not going to sign that spending bill. And then the government, you know, the shutdown, I mean, it's shutdown, you have to put in quotes because it's not really shutdown, but parts of the government shut down. So we're going to see those kind of fights next year. Ultimately, it can only be changed with new people in the administration and potentially new actual laws passed, because over the past three administrations, most of the immigration policy changes have just been executive actions, because there's too fundamental a division in Congress, a disagreement in Congress about what to do, so they can't pass new laws. So, for instance, not to go into details, but there are loopholes in the law that make this border disaster worse, actually probably help drive the border disaster. The Democrats refuse to plug those loopholes. They just won't do it because they like it the way it is now. And so only with a Republican Congress and a Republican president could those loopholes be plugged. Even then, it's not guaranteed, but at least it'd be possible. Until then, we're going to be, you know, treading water at the border, and it's getting worse every day.
I'm surprised that there has not been some border communities that have just barricaded their towns off and shut it down.
Well,
and, you know, and I'm curious, because if this gets worse and everyone, no matter what side of the issue you're on, we would call it worse. Others would say things are better by increased numbers. The net effect is, if the numbers increase to a point where everyone believes that it will be, I don't know how they handle any of this. I mean, they're crying uncle now.
Yeah, and have been for a while. I mean, there's that town where all those Haitians were under the bridge in the fall. A year ago, the mayor there, the Democratic mayor, was just screaming and begging Washington to do something about it, because his little town was overwhelmed with these people. And, you know, it's the local communities are, in fact, I mean, first of all, they got to deal with the people that are in front of them. You know, and most of them are just regular folks. I mean, there are criminals, but most of the people who turn themselves in aren't criminals. They're just regular illegal aliens. And, you know, people just have a sort of natural human reaction. I mean, they don't want them hanging around, but, you know, they're not going to be beating them up or anything either. But what it's doing down there is changing the politics pretty significantly. I was just down on the border last week, and then I'd been down there a couple weeks before that. This is in South Texas, all the way down right near the Gulf of Mexico. And these are 98% Hispanic communities, literally 98%. Everybody there is Mexican-American. They're moving pretty significantly and rapidly into the Republican column. McAllen, Texas, which is the city, the bigger city down there, they elected the first Republican mayor since the Republican Party was founded in 1850. There's a Republican, a Hispanic American woman who is almost a Republican, who's almost certainly going to win congressional seat down there. And there's two others who are running in other seats who could win. Probably not, but they could. The border disaster is actually shifting the politics down there in a significant way. And while the disaster is bad, the shift is actually encouraging to see. People are reacting in a constructive way. They're not going out with torches and pitchforks. They're organizing politically to change policies. And I think, you know, if they stick to it, they're going to succeed.
Well, obviously, for the Democrats, that's an unintended consequence, but
right.
One that I totally understand, because they're living in the trenches, right?
Exactly. I mean, I talked to landowners who actually live literally on the border. You know, a rancher, seventh generation old Spanish settler family, a woman, older woman whose family grew up down there, several other people, grapefruit farmers, a couple that have grow grapefruits right there on the border. They're all just hopping mad. And, you know, they want something to be done about this, because this is not sustainable. And, you know, the administration in Washington doesn't care. And to the extent they pay attention at all, they'll just say, oh, well, they're all racist. Well, how racist can Mexican Americans be to illegal immigrants who are also Hispanic? I mean, what are you talking about?
Right. Yeah. There's really no legitimate explanation for any of it at the end of the day. Mark Krikorian, thank you so much again for your time and your insight. Every time I think, you know, this is looks like it may be slowing down, it's actually getting worse. And I'm not sure where this is going to end. I really don't.
Well, I mean, as it was an advisor to President Nixon, it was actually Ben Stein, the comedian's dad, said, if something can't continue forever, it won't. This yep. can't continue forever, but it can continue for a while. And it'll get better at some point, but it's going to be a while yet.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
All right. That's Mark Krikorian, Executive Director of the Center for Immigration Studies. Give us a shout, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.